If you'll turn in your scriptures with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 24. Acts chapter number 24, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. In Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 9, and share a two-part message. I'll do one part tonight and the other part next Wednesday night. And it's a subject that every single one of us, I know, we need teaching on this subject in our life. It is how to survive criticism. How to survive criticism. When I read these verses, you'll see how Paul was criticized here before Felix. Acts 24:1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders, and with a certain orator, we'd say attorney today, certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness." Now I'm going to tell you something. You talk about some silver-tongued orator. This lawyer stood right in Felix's face and lied. Felix was a bloodthirsty scoundrel, and he hadn't done anything good for anybody. But he said that nonetheless, just kind of smoothing things over for what he wanted to share. Follow on. He says, "We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words." Now here's where he goes to rip Paul to pieces. "For we have found this man," talking about Paul, "for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain," you remember last week we studied about the captain of the guard? This is him. "But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so." These things were all a lie. There wasn't a thing this attorney said that was true. "Oh, we found Paul a pestilent fella. We found Paul a promoter of sedition among all the Jews all over the world. We have seen Paul profane the temple. He is the one who's a ringleader of all these problems that we all have faced. He's the one who's guilty of it all. But now, most noble Felix," oh, how sweet it is, "we just ask you, if you'd just give us a few moments of your time, your precious time, such a great leader you are, we'd like to say a few things." Then he criticizes Paul up one side and down the other. Let me ask you a question. If you've ever been criticized, would you lift your hand? All right, now don't put your hand down just yet. If you've ever criticized anybody else, will you keep your hand up? If you don't, you're telling a story. We've all been criticized, have we not? Amen? And I'm sure at some point in time, every single one of us has criticized somebody else. There's four words of infinite value that I want to share with you to survive criticism. Four words. It's tender heart and tough hide. Now, please remember those words. We're going to study tonight about the reality of criticism. And then next Wednesday night, from Paul, we're going to study about the response to criticism. We all need to know something about the reality of criticism, don't we? But we really do need to be taught. We really do need to know how we should respond when we're the face on somebody else's dartboard. We've all probably been there at some time or another, don't you think? If you're going to survive criticism, you must possess a tender heart and yet at the same time, a tough hide. Now, sometimes criticism comes to us from some old mean person. Now, there's some of those people around, you know they are. Some old ornery person that nobody can get along with, that doesn't like anybody, doesn't like themselves. Now, when someone like that criticizes me, I look at it like this. Their words are not even worth considering because they're going to do everybody else the same way. Just mean, ornery people. Sometimes criticism comes to us from those kinds of people. And other times criticism comes to us from persons who don't even know us. They don't know the facts about what they're talking about, and they don't know what they're even saying. Well, let me say this. People in ministry, we're like lightning rods for criticism. Sometimes over the years, decisions that I've made, I know this person, that person, those persons, well, he didn't make the right decision. He should have done this when he did that, or he shouldn't have done this when he did this. So people in ministry are lightning rods for criticism. Paul understood that reality very well in his life, didn't he? In fact, he actually admitted it. If you turn over there in 1 Corinthians and to look in chapter 16, look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. Look what Paul admits. 1 Corinthians 16, 9. Here's what Paul says. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. There was always somebody criticizing Paul for one thing or another. Paul quickly admits that ministry and criticism just go hand in hand. You can't separate them. That's just the way that it is. Paul's critics had dogged his heels from the very start of his ministry. When he was in Antioch, when the Spirit of God called him out, they had dogged his heels from Antioch all the way to Macedonia, and now all the way back to Jerusalem, his critics were always on his heels, weren't they? Well, now Paul's in his later years of life. His three missionary journeys had been completed. Don't you know Paul would love to have enjoyed a moment's peace? Here he is back in Jerusalem. He's weary. He is ragged from the battlefields of life, and he would like to have a short rest, but here we find his criticism by others just mainly intensifies. Yet Paul is our example on how to survive criticism. Again, I say we're going to look at the reality of it tonight. We'll look at the response next time. Paul was an example of a tender heart and a tough hide, wasn't he? Well, he had gone in his travels where no tourist would go, I can promise you that. He had gone where no novice had gone. He did things that no novice could have done or would have done. He had been beaten. He had been misunderstood. He had been mistreated. He had been maligned. He had been stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked a couple of occasions. Horrible things that took place in Paul's life. And now he turns back to Jerusalem, tired and worn down from his missionary journeys. I want you to notice something. When Paul comes back to Jerusalem, there's no applause for Paul. Nobody congratulates Paul for all the things he had done for the Lord. There's no ticker tape parade for Paul's coming home. No parade. Nobody welcomed him. In fact, no church even came to Paul and said, Paul, we appreciate what you've done. And Paul, you've been our model since you've been gone from us. And welcome home, Paul. But what you do find in Paul here is that his critics have again followed him all the way from Antioch to Macedonia and now to Jerusalem. Listen, these people who are criticizing him didn't even live in Jerusalem. But they'd gone out of their way to make life miserable for Paul. I've hit a couple like that over the years. Have you? They just go out of the way to make someone miserable. Might be you, might be me, might be somebody else. But they're going to make somebody's life miserable. Well, that's exactly what's happening right here. Well, I want you to see how remarkably well Paul handled the criticism that was leveled against his life. Every brutal act of criticism against him, Paul handled with ease and with the marvelous grace of God. Never one time do you find the Apostle Paul flinching from those slinging horrible critical words against him. In reviewing Paul's life, I see four things that were leveled against Paul in criticism that I want to share with us, because I dare say that possibly, all of us might have had these same four things leveled against us sometimes in some critic. Four things was leveled against Paul. I want you to see them with me. We need to see the reality of criticism. Now, it often comes to Paul like it does to us. Four things. If you need to write them down, write them down. Number one, criticism often comes when we're least needing it. Here's Paul, aging, been through missionary journeys, weary, needing a rest from all the battles. This was not the time for additional criticism to be leveled against Paul's life, do you think? This wasn't a time for his critics to intensify their criticism against him, but no, here it comes. I found this to be true in my life and yours. What do you think? Sometimes I've been criticized when I least needed it. Have you? Well, I think we all have. Criticism I find, like Paul, in my life or yours, it seldom ever comes when you're on top of things. It always seems to come when you're kind of down in a dump, so to speak, or you're kind of depressed about something, or something's really a burden on your heart or on your mind, when you don't really need criticism. That's when the devil's, to be sure, going to level it against you. It's always when you're down, not when you're up. Well, I've experienced this. When you're the most vulnerable, it's when criticism hurts the most, isn't it? I've experienced this in churches. I dare say you probably have too in life somewhere along the way. Well, without getting too mean, I've had some grinning church member come to me and in love, Pastor, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to tell you about the situation. This is going to be something constructive that's really going to help you, because I'm a brother or sister in Christ, and I just want to help you. And then they light into me and just rip me to shreds over something that they don't even half the time know what they're talking about. Paul experienced it a lot worse than ever I could have. Well, it's always in love that the criticism in the church house comes, isn't it? You ever wonder sometimes if those people who do you that way really want to help you or just hurt you or damage you? So you got to understand, first of all, criticism comes most often when we least need it. Here's the second thing about criticism. It comes usually when we least deserve it. It did to Paul. Did Paul deserve what he got here? Why, you know he didn't. Paul himself testified that he said, I've lived my life void of offense toward God and toward man. And what do you find here? Nothing more than criticism. Paul didn't need this, and Paul didn't deserve this. No one again seemed to applaud Paul for his sacrifices he had made for the Lord, all the suffering Paul had gone through. Nobody even seemed to think about those things. They didn't account for anything in some of these people's lives. The countless people Paul had won to the Lord, churches Paul had begun, suffering Paul underwent, didn't account for a thing at this point in time. Now all that was leveled against him was criticism. Now I admit sometimes, I'll speak for myself and I think you'll agree, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we make wrong decisions. Sometimes we make wrong moves. We're all in the human race, aren't we? Don't you agree that we all do that sometimes? Sure we do. Now, since we're in the human race, we all make mistakes. We all know that happens. But many times I made mistakes when it wasn't done through malice toward anybody. But I made mistakes. You made mistakes. And some brother or sister comes right up in your face and they'll proceed to just blast you with a hot shot of words. You ever had that happen to you? I have. Let me give you an example from my life. This is true, by the way. No names mentioned. You would know them anyways. In the first church I ever pastored. Back then, we had a Sunday school assemblies. You remember those days. We'd all meet in the sanctuary, you know, for Sunday school assembly. Then you'd break off into your classes. This is one of those times. We were in a Sunday school assembly, and we started to dismiss and go to our classes. One of our dear sisters, right in front of the pulpit, came up, and I could tell she was upset. Preacher, I want to talk to you. Yes, ma'am. I was going to take her back in the office and sit down. No, we're going to do it here. And all these people. She got upset with me because she felt I had mistreated one of her two sons. Both her sons were called to preach. And both her sons were in our church. And I had allowed somebody else to come in and preach on a session, not one of her two sons. And she felt like that anytime I happened to be out of the pulpit, one of her two sons were to fill that pulpit. And I had mistreated them by not using them. And she proceeded to blast me from here to yonder about that. But thanks be to God. Deacons, listen. A godly deacon, God bless his heart. He's been a friend of mine many, many years. People just sit back by what was happening. That godly deacon came up and he got between me and that woman. And he looked her right in the face, and here's what he said. I'll never forget it. He called her by name, and he said this. Why don't you just show the whole church what a real Christian's like? She burst into tears, stomped out of the room. I never got an apology. Didn't expect one. But nonetheless, the damage was done. The damage was done. Well, criticism often comes when you least deserve it and you least need it. But also something else about criticism you need to know. Number three, criticism often comes from the people who are least qualified to criticize you. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is a person who is most qualified to criticize you or to criticize me? I can tell you who it is. It's the person who knows you best. It's the person who loves you the most. That's the person who is the most qualified to criticize you or to give you constructive criticism, if you will. Not strangers. Not somebody you don't have any kind of relationship with. Not someone who doesn't really know you or you don't really know them. Please remember this, because this is so very important to every single one of us. This is so important. Listen, if you really don't know the person, you're about to criticize, or if you don't know the facts, do us all a favor and let it be. Amen? Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. Let it be. Let it go. Loving someone really begins with really knowing them. And you've got to spend time with people to know them in the church or even your mate, your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your workmates. You've got to spend time with people to really get to know them. King Solomon said this. He said, "Faithful are the wounds from a friend." Faithful are the wounds from a friend. Now listen, beloved. For those who really know me and really understand me and who have labored alongside me for enough time to really know me well, listen to me, those people's words are well worth hearing. Indeed, they are. They may hurt us, but they'll help us. They may hurt, but they'll help. They are truly reliable words, are they not? People like this don't really criticize inappropriately, do they? If they really know you and really love you, they're really going to come to you in confidence, not blast you in front of some church, you know, assembly somewhere. They're going to come to you and they're going to speak to you. It won't be inappropriately. Those who frequently criticize me, they don't know me at all. They just don't like something I did, something I said, some decision I made. So remember this. Criticism sometimes comes from the least qualified people to give it. Look in Paul's example I just read. Do you think this $2 lawyer even knew Paul? He was hired to stand before Felix and tell all that pack of lies and criticize Paul, and he didn't care about Paul. He didn't know Paul. He didn't love Paul. He could care less. He was the one least qualified to come about to criticize the Apostle Paul. That comes right on down through the ages, doesn't it? Until today. Criticism comes sometimes from the least qualified to give it. Now, the fourth thing I want to share. Criticism sometimes comes when it's the least helpful for us. When it's the least helpful for us. Like that sister I mentioned earlier in the story that I told. She didn't want to help me. She had no intentions of helping me. You know what she was doing? Just venting her anger right in my face before the church family. That's exactly all that it was. And many times, people will criticize others just because of anger or jealousy or sometimes it's even a severe rage that they've got in their life. Seldom is criticism offered lovingly and graciously. Many times these words are rendered to people anonymously. Let me tell you another story. Another church I pastored, my second church. I got a letter one day in the mail. It was to the church, not just to me, but it was to me and the church. And I read that letter, and they blasted our church. Terribly, terribly wrong. I knew it was wrong, and I debated about it, whether or not to even take the letter to the church and let them even hear it or not. But I felt like the church deserved to hear it because it was addressed to them as well as it was to me. So I took it to the pulpit and I opened up the letter and I said, "Now this letter I received, that's to the church and to me, I'm going to read it to you." And I read it to the church and they were like myself, kind of appalled, but nobody signed the letter. It was from Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous. And you know what I told the church? I said, "Let me tell you something, church. Listen, since this person who wrote this letter to us is anonymous to us, in all probability, they're anonymous to God, too." I just tore the letter up, threw it away, and went on about our business. Sometimes criticism comes when it's the least helpful. Well, it's also sometimes, these letters are like letter bombs, okay? You get one sometime and you don't know what it is and you open it. And once you open it, it's like you detonate a bomb. You open up the letter and it detonates and explodes right in your face. That's how sometimes criticism comes in the form of what I'd say letter bombs. It does irreparable sometimes damage. So I go back to what I said at the beginning. If you plan to, now listen, survive criticism, and if you plan to remain effective for the Lord Jesus, I'm talking about for the long haul in your life, you've got to have a tender heart, and you better have a tough hide. Here we have a wonderful example in the life of the Apostle Paul. He faced any number of critics with the great grace of God upon his life. We're going to see this in our next session when Paul has an opportunity. If you go back to that Acts 24 chapter, look at verse 10. It says, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself." Paul's going to be given an opportunity to respond to the criticism that was leveled against him by Tertullus, this lawyer. So we need to understand the reality, first of all, of criticism. Four things. First of all, it comes many times when you least need it. It comes when you least deserve it. It also comes when you're from the least qualified person to criticize you, and then it sometimes comes with the least helpful motive behind it. So remember that. It'll help us greatly to know something about the reality of criticism, not if, beloved, listen, not if, but when it comes to you. And it will come to you, will it not? It has, and it will. It'll help us know how to deal with it better and to survive through it and still do it for the grace of God and the glory of God. That's what I want to do. That's how I want to live my life. Not be a bitter, critical, cynical old man that doesn't like anybody, even myself. I want to be like Paul. And he responds, and I'll show us next week, seven things that we must do when criticism comes to us, how we should respond so that, first of all, God will get the glory and we'll get the good and we'll survive and we'll go on for the glory of God. Amen.